Hello, everybody. Again, my name is Steve McEnroy. I'm one of the pastors here. Most people call me Mac, and you're welcome to do that. I'm looking forward to continuing in our Hebrew series tonight. I kind of feel like maybe I'm an opening act for the food truck, so I'm gonna do my best to stay on track here so we can get out and get some tacos, and I'm excited for that. Don't get me wrong. You know, Hebrews, in our when I think of Hebrews, and we've titled the entire series, Consider Jesus, the first thing that comes to mind to me is just John 3:16. For God so loved the world, we sang that tonight. I love singing that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that so whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God was so kind to give us that truth. And then he said in Acts, anyone who would believe on the name of Jesus will be saved. When I consider Jesus, I think, you know, he's done it all for us. Everything's done for us. We're going to continue on. You know, today we'll look at some examples from chapter 11. This letter is written, if you remember, to Jewish believers that are being persecuted. They were being persecuted and considering going back into Judaism. The people are disoriented. What they believe is being more than challenged. They're being persecuted for what they believe. They could lose their lives. They need direction. So the author of Hebrew comes through for them. Maybe you can relate. Maybe there's something you're up against. It's just hard. And you're just a little disoriented. I know I am. But life can be difficult sometimes. We need faith. We need Jesus to help us through. I like this quote from Haddon Robinson. He's a preacher and author. He says, make your plans, but write them on paper, not in concrete. God and life have a way of intruding and leading you on a journey that you might not have anticipated in your wildest dreams. And that reminds me of this verse from Proverbs chapter 16. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I would just say, in everything you do, in every single thing you do, consider Jesus. Ask him to direct your steps. His faith apart from Christ is a road to nowhere. I've titled this By Faith Part 2. Last week, Josh did By Faith Part 1, talking about heroes of the faith. Josh ended with talking about Noah's faith, and he highlighted a man who preached over 100 years with little results from what we can tell, but I'm sure people responded to his message along the way. He shared this verse from Hebrews 11:1. I don't have it up on the screen, but I think it's really important for this whole chapter. It's Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Let me just read that again. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction and the conviction of things not seen. We don't know everything that's going to happen. But God does, and he's going to help us with everything we're up against. And I like this definition that Josh gave us for faith. Faith is a settled confidence in things God promised in his word about the future. So faith is a settled confidence in things God promised in his word about the future. The writer really brilliantly, the author of Hebrews here, he unpacks what these Jewish believers, they would have known these saints of old, these names that are written in this book. It would have brought stories to mind. They would have known this well, ultimately reminding them and us of examples of people that have lived by faith, using what they already know, what we already know, to help us get reoriented to Jesus. the overarching theme is that faith is from God and for God. It's a gift from God and it's for God. From our text, we'll draw out four ways to live by faith. Just four things that I gleaned from this section. There's so many more, but we only have so much time. So I'm going to pray and ask God to help us. I invite you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you that we could sing and worship you and bring praise to your name. You're so worthy of that. I pray you just take the time to just to lead us. I pray you'd just take away all the distractions. I pray you'd settle my heart, Lord, and just teach us what you want us to know. Lord, we want to hear from you and nobody else. So, God, we just need your help in that. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, four ways to live by faith. That's just kind of what we're going to look at. And the first would be Abraham, he obeyed, not knowing where he was going. You'll see in a little bit when we step into these verses, he obeyed. Obedience is paramount. Whenever you read the Bible, read it to obey. Abraham obeyed, and he didn't know where he was going. Back in the day, everyone reading this letter would know about Abraham. In Hebrews 11:8, the writer continues with examples of faith. God promised Abraham descendants and a promised land for those descendants to live. Remember, the author is highlighting faith. We refer to these people as heroes of the faith, and rightly so. But we must remember, faith is from God and for God. These examples of our ordinary people walking in faith, just like you and me. So let's get into the text here. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll look at verses 8 and 9 here. Read them with me. Let the words of God's word, let the Bible teach you. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he's going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham was the father of the Hebrew nation and the ultimate role model of faith. He lived in an established place, Ur. It was a port city. Some say it was perhaps the first civilized city. And he probably lived with some degree of stability in the city. God asked him to live as a nomad, to leave the city, live as a nomad in tents on the way to a land of promise that he couldn't see and he didn't know where he's going. The whole family is involved. Isaac is his son and Jacob is his grandson. You'll see further on in the text, his great-grandsons are involved. By faith, Abraham believed God's promises and he obeyed God. Don't miss it. He obeyed God. We need to be men and women that obey God. I like this quote from Ellen Redpath. It says, "There's some task which the God of all the universe, the great creator, your redeemer in Jesus Christ, has for you to do, and which will remain undone and incomplete until by faith and obedience you step into the will of God." There's a place where God will call us to a place, and we may not see the road, but he'll challenge us to step into it. In verse 10, we're talking about Abraham, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Maybe you've heard the saying, there's no home for us this side of heaven. Like Pilgrim in Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress, once we've caught the sight of the celestial city, we can never be content with anything less. Like Abraham, we look for a city whose builder is God. What does that look like for you today in everyday life? What does that look like for us? Just your average everyday Christian, what does that look like for us as we try to live out our faith? Is it safety? Is it security? Is it a bank account? What do we look for? What do we need to be looking for? God gave Abraham the faith to go to places he didn't know he was going to. I'm going to shift gears a little bit just to bring an illustration. And I'll bring my dear wife into the picture because she's just so beautiful. I like to stare at her. And we went on a double date with some friends up to the ice castles up in Midway. And it was freezing cold. I don't know if you can tell it, but our noses were bright red. It was just really cold. And I think we were standing there waiting to get into the restaurant. Impatiently, I might add. But the illustration I want to make is just the idea of I grew up in the Midwest and it's cold. It can be really cold. It can be dangerously cold if you're not careful. If you don't prepare, you go out to the mailbox. It could hurt you. It could harm you. Sometimes it's like 20 below zero, and then the wind blows. So you have to prepare. You have to wear clothing or put on a coat or something to protect you. Like Jeannie and I, we were really bundled up because we knew we were going to the ice castles. But the idea that I had was that the faith that God gives us, it's like our parents, when we're little kids, they buy us coats and they buy us gloves that fit just right or a scarf, especially if we live in a region where it's really cold, so that we can survive the storm, so that we'll be okay, so that we won't be harmed, so that we can get back to a place of protection or back with our parents. And I think of faith, there's different ways where there's different things, maybe like a coat, we need to put things on. Like God's word. It's just a directive. And it's just a protection. Maybe cover us. And maybe praying to the Lord would be like gloves or something that we have to have, or experiential faith being parts of things that we have that we need to get to a place of protection. You know, we're cold. Our eyes always think when we're cold is, you know, eventually I'm going to be in the house where it's warm and maybe there'll be a fireplace there and we'll survive with that. We have to trust to make it through the storm. I'm a little embarrassed to say that this year I went to one of my grandson's soccer games, and it was like 40 degrees in the 40s, and we thought, oh my goodness, it's going to be so cold. We're going to freeze to death when we go to the soccer game. So we were trying to prepare for that, and I was deciding what to do, so I wore long underwear to go to the soccer game. And I remember standing there looking at everybody with their towels just kind of pulled around them, and I was like as warm as a donut fresh out of the oven. I was like, meeting people, how are you doing? It's great to be here. But there's the idea of protection and the warmth that we need from the Lord. There's this faith component that we need to lean into. My dear wife and I are up against some challenges right now. And I inserted her right here with Abraham because I think she stands just as tall as he does as far as an example in the faith. And we were facing some health challenges that are really kind of rocked our world. And so you're looking at a man that's in a place of faith. Right now, maybe even that's why I'm kind of hiccuping through here, because I'm just at I'm a little disoriented, and I need the Lord to help me. But earlier this week, my wife and I were wrestling, we were talking with different doctors and different appointments and different opinions and different things, and she shared this verse with me. The Lord had spoken to her heart. See, one of the warm clothing coverings that she's always had a good habit of since she came to Christ was she's a woman of the word. And the storm was right there like blazing in our face. And she went to the word And she shared this verse with me. Psalm 77, 10 says, "Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there." Of course, we know we're talking about the Red Sea and how God parted the waters. But as the Israelites came up to the sea and the Egyptians were hot behind them, there was no path. The waters hadn't parted yet. They didn't know where to go. They were up against, they had to step in faith. And we see that again in Joshua 2, where they were going to pass, the priests were going to carry the tabernacle through the Jordan waters. And it was at floodwater stage. So they walked right up to a river at floodwater stage. We know how dangerous that can be. And they couldn't see the path. They didn't know where they were going to go. But in faith, they stepped in the water's path, and they went through. You know, the saints of old had to believe in God's promises and obedience to step into the water. And it's really no different for us. We need to trust the Lord, keep our eyes on him, and to step into things that he has for us, even if we can't see where we're going. You know, Jeannie and I, we've had some experiential faith together too. The Lord has taken us places of obedience where we've gone mission trips. I mean, 23 years ago, we moved here to help plant this church. I was a three-year-old Christian. And in faith, we felt God laid it on our hearts to be a part of this church plant. We moved to Provo to plant a church, of all places. And in faith, we went down there and we saw God time after time after time after time come through. And in different mission trips, we've been to quite a few places in Europe, and the Lord comes through. And there's experiential faith, and we can trust him. He came through back over there. I trust he'll come through again. And then even in our situation right now, I trust our dear Lord and Savior is going to come through. He'll do what's best for us. I believe that with all my heart. Here we are on the streets of Stockholm in this photo. What were we doing there? Sharing the gospel. We wanted people to know. In faith, we stepped out. We want people to know the Lord. And I think that's part of the protective clothing is experiential faith. It's reading it's God's word. It's being with God's people. It's being in prayer. I like this quote from Warren Wiersbe. It says, "We do not understand and then obey. That is instruction. We obey by faith and then we understand. That is illumination." When we, even with God's word, when we do what he says, what he instructs us to do, then he illuminates his word. He shows us the path, just like that great illustration Bill had from the Indiana Jones movie where the road came to light. Another way to faith, we see the faith of Abraham and Sarah. Okay, I'll get away from my wife, even though she's my hero of the faith. We'll go back to the text and let Abraham and Sarah take the front here. Abraham and Sarah believed God's promises. You look in verse 11. "By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised." Now, Abraham believed and he was counted as righteous. Sarah was Abraham's wife. They were unable to have children through many years of marriage. God promised Abraham a son, but Sarah doubted that she could become pregnant in her old age. At first she laughed, but afterwards she believed. In the midst of it all, I wonder if she was just simply trying to live out her life. Just trying to figure things out. But look at that last part of that verse. I just want to highlight this. I think this is what carried Sarah along, since she considered him faithful who had promised. She believed God. She believed God's promises. And that's what kept her going, I believe. She believed God. We must be women and men and women that believe God and believe his promises. I would really appreciate it if someone would give me some water. Okay, verse 12, moving on here. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead. Man, that was quick. You're right. Excuse me for a minute. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born the descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand. In the midst of all of it, they could not see, but they had faith. They had faith beyond. They believed what God told them. God told them that they were going to have descendants, and they as many as grains of the sand of the seashore. And they believed and trusted him in that. And verses 13 and 14, we're just going to go through the story that the author of Hebrews is just highlighting. Look at their faith. Look at that faith. That's the same kind of faith you need to have to walk through all the persecution, all the things that we're up against. Maybe you're up against tonight. We need to look at examples of faith. Maybe friends of yours that have walked in faith or the saints of old. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. These people of faith, they died without receiving all that God had promised. But they never lost their vision of heaven. True faith helps us see beyond the grave. Jesus prepares a place for us as I speak. Do you believe that? I'm convinced of it. There's a better place waiting for us. For those of us that know Jesus, I know, I'm convinced of it, that there's something better for us. And we need to be reminded of that day in and day out. It is just going to get better. The third way to faith is live as strangers and exiles on earth. This says, like he spoke of in verse 13, as strangers and exiles on earth. You know, like Abraham was a foreigner when he obeyed and left his homeland, we are passing through this world on our way to the promised land. We're headed somewhere, expecting God's best. At least I am. Seems that everyone wants to fit into this world. I don't. We need to recognize this is not our home. We need to live unattached to this world. There's no such thing as a forever home outside of heaven. God gives us nice things, even nice homes. I live in a fine home and I use it to give God glory. It's not permanent. It reminds me of this other verse from Hebrews that we'll look at in a few weeks here. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. You need to be reminded of that. Back to verse 15, back to the story of Abraham and Sarah and their descendants. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. Remember, they left this port city, considered the first civilized city. So if they'd been thinking of that, then perhaps they thought, oh, they might have pined away or did an about face and returned to go back to that place of what they thought with stability. But no, their eyes were on another place. They had their hope set on God, not on the port city. A better place is waiting. In verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. When our eyes are on Jesus, the things of this earth grow strangely dim. That sounds familiar. Maybe we should write a song. I wonder if we could read these lyrics without singing it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'm praying that we'll be men and women that keep our eyes on Jesus. I had this song rolling around in my head one day last week, and I'm convinced it's the only thing that got me through the day. When our eyes are on Jesus, the things of this earth grow strangely dim. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I believe it. I believe it. Keep our eyes on Christ. Christ, I like this verse from Revelation. Revelation 21:2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Can there be a better description of something more beautiful than a bride adorned for her husband? God is completely confident in his finished work on the cross and his sovereign headship to call us children. You know, I'm so proud of my children, every one of them. They bring me such joy. And I love to I love to brag about them when I meet new people. You know, if I'm on an airplane or something, do you have any children? Well, I'm glad you asked. You know, and they're not perfect. My children are not perfect. And but I love them. And you know, the Lord knows that our faith apart from him, it's not perfect, but yet he's not ashamed of us. He loves, I think, to see us take steps of faith. Where he puts something on our heart and we obey and step into it. When we believe his promises, I think it delights him. He loves to call us his children. Verses 17 and 18. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. That's a great example of someone living as a stranger in exile. Excuse me again here. Oh, that water just keeps getting better. Because this is just incredible what Abraham does. So he gets the miracle son, and God asks him to sacrifice that son. And this is the son. It said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Verse 19, he goes on and said, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. In Genesis, we see Abraham willing to sacrifice his only son. That had to be so hard. He and Sarah were not able to have children. When they finally had this miracle child, God asked him to sacrifice his child. What was that day like? What was that like for Abraham? I doubt that he thought, well, this is great. I get to do this for the Lord. Were his hands shaking? Was he just thinking, like, whatever you say, Lord? It took an incredible faith. I think it's absolutely miraculous that he was willing to sacrifice his own son. And of course, we know the story. God stepped in and provided a ram in the place of his son. And the final point I want to make, the final way to faith is welcome the testing of your faith. And if I'm honest, I just have not arrived there. And that's why this, I think this has been so hard for me to for this teaching today, because I haven't arrived there yet. Because the thing they're going, welcome to testing of your faith. I wonder how long. I mean, when God laid it on Abraham's heart, I wonder how long it took him to wrestle with the and be convinced that, all right, God, thank you for this. This is important for me. I will do this for you. It's hard. I think of Proverbs, verse 17, or chapter 17, verse 3, fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. You know, I don't like to take tests. I never have. I wasn't really that good of a student. But, you know, why do people give us tests? The idea is that we would learn it well. They want the best for us. They want to learn it. And some tests, they're so important, your life might be on the line if you don't learn it well. Or someone else's life might be on the line. You know, once back in the day, I was working as an electrician, and I decided to get my master electrician's license so I could have my own business back when I was in Colorado. And like I said, I don't like to take tests, so I found a class that taught you just what you needed to pass the test. So all my other friends were learning everything just in preparation for the test, and I said, I will pay $300 to learn just what's on that test. You know, I think of James, says, consider it joy when you face troubles of many kind. And I don't want to be cynical, but I'm in a place where it's like, you know, is he being sarcastic? Consider it pure joy in these troubles. Welcome the testing of your faith. I think that there's a place there where we wrestle with, at least that I'm wrestling with, that once you step into that and realize, wait a minute, this is the best thing for me. This is really going to be good for me. This is going to teach me how to take the next steps. I like this quote from T.D. Jakes. It says, there are some fires you can't get out of. You've got to go through the fire. You've got to go through the flood. You've got to go through the test. You've got to go through the struggle that you might decrease and he might increase. And I think that's where some of these saints were old, and I think that's where I am now, and I think maybe some of you as well. You're just trying to welcome these tests. Now wait, the Lord's going to help me with this. This will be good for me to go through this. But it can be hard. Let's pick back up in verses 20 through 22, the last part of this section of verses. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Now, there's a lot in these verses, and we don't have time to unpack them all. And we don't have time to look at Joseph. That would be a 10-part series. I just want you to notice there's four generations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Esau, and Joseph. They looked for a better country, a heavenly one. They believed God would prepare for them a city. By faith, they died looking for that city. Like them, I want to spend my life doing what God shows me each day, the good, the bad, and the ugly, by faith. Why? Because he's promised to me that in Christ, he will take care of me. And I'll get to that place of warmth, and my Father will be there. In fact, in the Bible, it says, my Father is preparing a place for me. And by faith, maybe that's to my illustration, that clothing of faith to get me there through this life. Let's finish by looking at Jacob. You see in the verse up there, it says, by faith Jacob, when dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph. And I want you to catch this part right here. I'm talking about Jacob here, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. So he's bowing in worship, blessing his grandsons, believing they would walk in things behind him. He bowed in worship. And if we remember the story of Jacob leaning upon his staff, it symbolizes his helpless, moment-by-moment dependence on God. What Jacob did certainly does not look like a miracle of faith, but it was. It was perhaps a greater miracle than the other miracles. The staff had become necessary to Jacob because his thigh had been dislocated at Peniel. You remember the story of Jacob? He wrestled with a man, it says in Scripture, all night long. And some would say that was Jesus. And in an interesting part in those verses, it says that Jacob won the wrestling match. And then in the morning, the man reached over and dislocated his hip and left Jacob basically helpless. I've dislocated my hip before. I know what that feeling is like. Jacob went through that, and back in the day, there wouldn't have been doctors to help him. So most likely, Jacob went through his life leaning upon a staff. He would always remember the miracle that God had wrought in his life in breaking his stubborn self-will. You know, Shakespeare said it well, God is the very staff of my age, my very prop. Learning of our weaknesses and submitting to them teaches us to lean on God's strength. When we are weak, God shows himself strong. You know, when I used to teach, I used to pace the stage. I was really just had a hard time. And now I kind of like leaning on the lectern. Leaning upon that staff. Today, this morning, a verse from the Psalms really ministered to my heart. I don't have it on the screen, but it really helped me wrestling in my own faith today. It's just a real simple psalm, Psalm 143, verse 8. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. You read it again. The psalmist writes to his beloved Lord, let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. I love that psalm. It's my new favorite psalm. It reminds me of Jacob leaning on his staff, depending on the Lord. We look at 2 Corinthians. If you remember, the Apostle Paul had a situation where he had some sort of physical ailment, some sort of thorn in his side that he asked the Lord three times to take away from him. He begged the Lord, take it away, take it away, take it away. Each time the Lord said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, so now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses. We read a verse, or we sang a verse in a song for that tonight. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. When I am weak, then I am strong. You know, oftentimes we'll ask, why is this happening, Lord? Why is this going on? We find ourselves, lots of things, even if you can't find a parking spot, why can't I find a parking spot? Why, Lord, why is my health such a difficult thing, Lord? Why is my wife struggling with health? And I think oftentimes what we need to do is change our whys into what? What? What are you teaching me, Lord? I don't want to miss a thing. What are you teaching me in this? you wouldn't have me walk through there this if there wasn't something really important that you didn't want me to miss. What are you teaching me, Lord? I want to be a man that's paying attention. I want to know more about the Lord. What are you teaching me? I want to know more about you. I prayed that to the Lord this morning. I want to know more about you, more of you and less of me. Have you ever been to that place? Ask God, more of you, less of me. A place of surrender. God, you're what I need. I can't make this happen myself. I need you. Four ways to live by faith that we looked at today from Hebrews. These heroes of the faith, but we must remember faith is from God and it's for God. And just in review, Abraham, he obeyed not knowing where he's going. God told him to go. He left a secure city to live as a nomad because God called him to. He obeyed. We need to be men and women that obey. Abraham and Sarah, they believed God's promises. Do you believe God's promises? God will do what he says he's going to do. There are promises in the Bible. I implore you to research them and claim promises of God and live as strangers and exiles on earth. We really are just passing through. There's a better place, a city of God waiting for us. God prepares a place for us. And with God's help, welcome the testing of faith like a warm coat on a cold day. Let's just pray. We'll end with that. Lord, I love you. I thank you that you're such a good father. I thank that you teach us in the small things and the big things. Lord, everything that we walk in, everything that we see on this side of heaven, you've asked us to live by faith. Lord, one day we'll see you. I'm confident of that. I don't doubt that, Lord. But for now, we need to live by faith. God, would you help us? Lord, if there's anybody in here that doesn't know you, that hasn't placed their faith in you, Lord, would you just help them to see you? Lord, you said in your word, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Oh my goodness, it's just that simple. Lord, help us put our faith in you. One day we'll see you. I look forward to that. In the meantime, Lord, I just thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for helping us weather the storm. Thank you that you'll give us everything we need. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thanks for coming.